I speak to you in the name of our risen Lord. Some aspects of today's gospel reading can admittedly be quite confusing. There's the question of who is who, and what each one of the people represented in this story are meant to represent. There's the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold has got to be a special place because thieves want to break in. So it seems like it's a place where people might want to go. It's a place of relationship. And so we're left to suppose that we want to be let in. But we learn that the one who enters the gate is the shepherd. The shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep. So we can't be the shepherd. And when we read on, we learn that Jesus is in fact the shepherd. So that's who John has to be talking about. But if Jesus is the shepherd, who is the gatekeeper that John was talking about just a minute ago? Who is it that's letting Jesus into the sheep? Well, Jesus tries to clarify all of this by saying that he is the gate for the sheep. Now, hold on. Wasn't the gate just a gate a second ago? Now, Jesus is the gate. Who's the shepherd again? Who's the one the sheep recognize? And who is the gatekeeper? And are we the sheep? Who are the thieves? Are we inside or are we outside of the sheepfold? Well, the gospel writer seems to understand our confusion and concludes by saying, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not fully understand what he was saying to them. Well, if we don't understand all of this business about gates and gatekeepers, shepherds and sheep, and sheepfolds and pastures, then I think we seem to be in good company. Still, I think there are some important promises for us in this text, and perhaps most importantly, we can hang on to the words that come at the conclusion, at the end of verse 10, where Jesus says this, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life is promised to those who follow Jesus. But again, there's a danger that we will misunderstand. What is it that's meant by abundant life? Now, in the culture in which we live and move and breathe, our North American dominant culture, abundant life is routinely taken to mean the good life of many fine things, an opulent lifestyle, having all the things that you want. And much of our economy and leisure time revolves around consumerism, shopping and buying things, the things that we hope will make our lives happier and better, the things that we imagine might give our lives meaning. But abundance of things is not at all what Jesus is talking about. So what does he mean when he says that he came so that we might have abundant life? The familiar Psalm 23, which I spoke about a few weeks ago, provides us with a good illustration of what Jesus is promising here. The psalm imagines abundant life not in material terms, but in relational terms. Abundant life is one lived in the presence of God, whether one is in green pastures or in the darkest valley. There's nothing to want because God is present. We are in the gracious and generous care of God through times of material abundance and in times of want and scarcity. This relationship between our Lord and us, who are his followers, is a relationship with one who knows us abundantly, who knows us by name, and who knows what we truly need in order to be fulfilled, in order to have meaning in our lives. And so the image of Jesus as our shepherd reminds us that he is with us at all times, and that our relationship with him provides us with all the things that we need. Here's the thing, though. The abundant life does have something to say to our relationship with things, because there is transformation. rather than the need to hoard and hunker down and grab as much as we can for as long as we can out of the fear of scarcity, we are free to know God's abundance and open our hands and hearts in generosity and hospitality. Another passage that is appointed for today is from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, where the disciples of Jesus are described as sharing all things in common. The new life they share in the resurrection of Jesus leads to care for the poor along with the praise of God. Now, in this time of pandemic and isolation, I think it's easy for us to become focused on scarcity. The unnecessary hoarding that we saw, especially in the early days of this crisis, were an outworking of that reality. But we also saw signs of abundance. People opening their hearts and their hands to others because they are secure in their relationship with God. I understand that these are anxious times. Many have lost jobs. All of us have lost or missed important social connections. Far too many have lost loved ones in death to this terrible virus. And I think, in a sense, we all are sharing a loss in our community in some ways. And so it might seem like the abundance we've been talking about today is very elusive. So let me remind you of this from our reading. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus calls your name. Your name. You. There's something so personal about hearing your name. There's something intimate about being called by your name. The Good Shepherd calls you by name, gathers you into safety, and leads you out to green pastures. You are called by name into abundant relationship. I want to close with what is a rather longish quote, I admit. It's from Jan Esther Boyd, and she paints a wonderful picture of what it means to be welcomed and called into this obedience. So, listen with some imagination to these pictures that she paints. You are a cosmonaut out in space, umbilically attached to the craft, and your air reserve is almost gone. You reach for the hatch lever, and the door you came out is gone. The way in is gone, and you're lost. Suddenly, from within, a new and unseen door is thrown open, and you're pulled through it to escape into life. You are a full-term baby, wrapped inside a mother whose labors are unable to birth you. What was your life water becomes slowly a flooding threat. Into your hiding place pierces a cutting blade, a blaze of light, a leaping up out of the darkness, and you are lifted out of death through the door in the flesh. You gaze upon the company who delivered you. You are a secretary descending in an elevator from the 106th floor, long after hours. There's a blackout. The building is deserted for a three-day weekend. Panic envelops you as the walls of the elevator seem to shrink in. Then, unimaginably, the ceiling of the compartment is thrown back. Hands grasp you and deliver you from your prison. You are free and embraced into welcome. As our door into the dominion of God, Jesus is our shepherd. Through Christ, we find our way home to God. Christ is guardian of the threshold of God's mercy for us. Heed the voice and be shepherded through. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.